I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our Wisdom Watch. That's the part of the program where we talk to people who have made a difference through their work and have wisdom to spare. Today, we speak with two-time Academy Award winner Sally Field. She's brought an array of very different characters to life, ranging from a flying nun to a union organizer. She currently stars as Nora Holden Walker in the dramatic television series Brothers and Sisters, which airs on ABC. She won a Screen Actors Guild Award for that role earlier this year and earlier won an Emmy.
A Family in Politics by Kitty Walker.
Did she write that?
Oh, yes, she wrote it. We all come off like a bunch of ridiculous caricatures. Okay, listen. My mother, easily a blue stater, claims to be socially progressive. She's even got an arrest for possession of marijuana under her belt. What? My criminal record is now public
knowledge?
You know,
it's a misdemeanor, Mom.
Says the drug addict.
Away from the screen, Sally Field has been outspoken on a number of issues. We caught up with her when she came to town to accept an award from the National Osteoporosis Foundation, which was given in recognition of her efforts to bring awareness to that condition. You must have a lot of room on your mantle, so thank you for visiting with us.
Well, thank you for allowing me to visit with you.
First of all, what is osteoporosis?
Well, osteoporosis is a bone disease, and what it means is that your bones lose their density. They become porous, like wet chalk, basically. Bone is a living tissue in your body, and it is constantly refreshing itself, like skin is. You have dead skin cells that fall off. Well, bones are the same way. You have the cells that are sloughed off, that are shed from your body, and new bone builds. And osteoporosis happens when your body is shedding more bone than you're able to build.
It is a condition associated with aging.
It is, right? Because it has to do, as you get older, with the loss of hormones that do so much to keep your body healthy in a lot of ways. When you lose those hormones, some things need attention.
And the reason I was curious about this is I was interviewing a young actress, and she had been offered a role where she would play the mother of three young children. And she initially told her agent, she said, you know what, no, call me when you got something sexy. Because even at her young age, she was worried about being cast as older. Mm-hmm. And so I wondered, you know, you've taken on a lot of issues over the course of your time. You're interested in a lot of things. Did you hesitate to take on an advocacy role to bring attention to something like this, which is associated with aging? Age is such a tricky thing in Hollywood, especially for women.
Yes, it is. But it isn't like I can deny that I'm getting older. That would be humiliating.
Well, a lot of people do.
Well, that's humiliating. And I wish they wouldn't. I am 62, and there's parts of being 62 that I am so proud of, that I've lived this long and that I'm still upright and that I've continued to work. And being an older woman is so valuable in this country, in whoever you are, whatever community you live in, whatever city, whatever town, whatever country. Older women have something great to offer.
You have attempted to lie about your age?
No. I've never attempted to lie about it, probably because I started so young. Everyone already knew my age. It wasn't like I when I was in my 40s, I could say I was in my 30s. Everyone already knew how old I was. And I've never been one of those people, and then therefore actresses, that, you know, walks in the room and the part of me that I exhibit the most or sell the most or am the most is sexuality. I mean, it's there, trust me. But it was never what I identified myself as being, you know, that's what I am, you know, just a sexy being. So that was never glamour, and sexuality was never what I walked in the room with. So getting older, I'm an actor, and that's what I value most. I want to be able to play those old women, and I want to be able to play them standing upright and not hobbling around. And I want to have choices. I don't want to be stuck in a chair. And, you know, I don't want to lose years off my life because I didn't take the time to notice or to have checked that I had osteoporosis, which is a huge, huge issue for women my age. And I didn't know it was there. I didn't know that one out of two women, that's half, over the age of 50, will experience an osteoporosis-related fracture.
Talk to me about your latest role. What attracted you to the role of Nora Walker?
Oh, boy. Nora is so fabulous because she's real. Not a lot of roles, I think, today really showing the life, you know, full-rounded life of a woman in this country in her 60s. every now and again, there'll be a film that has a little bit about what a woman's life is in their 60s as they get older, but not like Nora. Nora is really the whole enchilada, you know, that what is important in her life and how she got to this point and how she moves forward. And I honestly feel that there are not enough examples in this country for people to look at, for women to look at, who are either older or someday going to be older, that says, okay, aging is not a bad thing. It is actually what humans do. They age, and the choices are really grim. You know, you either age or you die. I mean, what are your choices here? So you have to say, this is the way it was supposed to be, and I will find the value in it. And there's like tremendous value.
One of the things I think, one of the positive qualities I think that many people associate with older women is outspokenness. I'm thinking, of course, of Barbara Bush, who was famously known to speak her mind, and so are you. When you won an Emmy for your role in 2007, you famously said in the ending to your acceptance speech, let's face it,
if the mothers ruled the world, there would be no wars in the first place.
Did you plan that?
No, I didn't. I had won that year for Nora Walker, and Nora's story that year was really centered around her being the parent of a child who was going into harm's way. And that had to do with sending a child into Iraq or Afghanistan. And I wanted to pay homage to how brave that is and how incredible that is for the parents or the loved ones who stay at home and send their loved ones into danger. And it could be into war. It could be being a firefighter or a police officer. There are all sorts of heroes who really risk their lives to take care of others. And being the mother of someone who does that, I wanted to pay homage to that. And out of it came, you know, a bit of Sally.
You know, it's interesting because the whole question of when celebrities choose to speak out and what they choose to speak out about is something that always stirs up a lot of interest. I mean, sometimes people say, oh, yeah, finally they're taking on something in using their stature to call attention to something. And you are a citizen and you have every right. But then there are those who say, well, why don't you guys just, you know, look pretty and just,
you know, and why don't you shove it up where the sun don't shine?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you just sit down? Thank you so much. You know, we don't need your commentary.
I don't care about that. I mean, that's what I say. Those are the people that you can just say, you know, I don't care. If someone says to me, you know, sit down and shut up and look pretty, well, too bad, because I couldn't do that in 1964. So, and especially because in that case, I had just won an award and I wanted to address really why I'd won it. I won it because of a very powerful subject that people were really going through and are today.
How do you decide what's worth your time? I think this is something that a lot of people, particularly women, struggle with. There are so many things that could command your attention. How do you decide when something is worth your time?
I think something just strikes you in your heart, in your gut, what's right. I have always been drawn to working for women and children, whether it be this or, you know, several of the other groups I work for. I really do believe that the voices of women in this world are very, very needed. You know, when you look at all the women in various countries that are so horribly marginalized is a kind word, and used as weapons of war, you know, I really think that as humans on this planet, we must address this and must have the voices of women more at the table.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm visiting with Oscar and Emmy award-winning actress Sally Field. It's our Wisdom Watch conversation. I noticed that one of the groups that you're involved with is a group that helps women around the world, particularly emerging women leaders
yes.
around the world, to develop skills, mm-hmm. to find their voices. It's a group that we've worked with, so
Vital
one reason
voices.
It caught my attention. Mm-hmm. Did it take you some time to find your voice? I mean, you were a star very early mm-hmm. in your life, at an age when... Gosh, I think, you know, a lot of us were just trying to figure out how to pick our major, mm-hmm. you know, and whether we should go to a mixer or not,
yeah.
you know, on Saturday night. And yeah. here you are already a major star. So did it take you a while to find your voice?
Oh, yes. Oh, goodness, yes. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of voices. The voices that you speak out in a public way against things you feel are wrong or need to be right. Or to serve in some way. But then there's the personal voice, the voice that says, you know, no, I don't like that. Please don't do that to me. No, I don't want you to treat me that way.
How about as a performer, though? I mean, one of the things that's always, you know, in my field that I'm always amazed by. A star of your stature is always surrounded by so many people. I mean, there's, you know, there are 18 people around who are, I'm sure, happy to give their opinion about what you should do next. How do you sort through all
really
that?
I don't really have 18 people around me.
I'm exaggerating.
No,
but
I
you know what
have
I mean.
Two. I don't. But I've never been that way. I think because I've always been kind of a hermit and really shy, so I don't have a lot of people around me giving or I turn to and ask opinions of or
well,
I just never
were
have.
Very dominant in your life early
my mother choosing. My mother's yeah. always been you know, the person I talk to. And honestly, it took me a long time to be able to say, no, that's not really right. I don't really think that way. You know, for a long time it was she had such weight and still does. Luckily she's still here. She still has so much weight, her opinion, that many times I don't ask her opinion because I'm afraid that it will sway my own instinct because she has had so much weight. And I think, no, I better just go with my – if I hear what her opinion is, it may mean too much to me. I'm just going to move forward. Lots of times I wish I had asked her. But
was there a critical moment when you realized, you know, my decision, it's got to be my gut. It's got to be what I want. Was it when you became a mother, for example?
You know, that is a big part of anybody growing up, I hope. That, I mean, it had a lot to do with my growing up. I had children very young. So I had my first child when I was 23. So this really young in today's world. But, you know, finding your voice is just knowing what you think and feel without anybody else's opinions on you is what human beings fight their whole life to do. You struggle your whole life to really get to – it's the ooey word – but to get to your core, you know, to know who am I really, what do I really feel without anybody else – on me or without trying to appear to be something other than what I am. This is who I am, and you spend your whole life trying to be more at that place.
But a lot of times when you're a public figure, when you do express yourself authentically, mm-hmm. people will just slam you down so hard
yeah.
just for fun. And I'm thinking about your 1985 Oscar mm-hmm. winner, your acceptance speech for Places in the Heart. Mm-hmm. And as I recall, because I've read interviews where you talked about this, you were saying what you felt.
Yeah.
I haven't had an orthodox career, and I've wanted more than anything to have your respect. The first time I didn't feel it, but this time I feel it, and I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
You learn how to do this. Because I've been, you know, I started when I was 17 and kind of in varying forms of the public eye. I mean, I've never been the sort of Brad and Angelina kind of hotbed of, you know, have the paparazzi all over you all the time.
I think you're pretty famous.
Well, I am famous, but I've sort of dealt with it all my life. And I really strongly believe in how safe and secure it feels with your head deep in the sand. I really don't listen to that. I don't read reviews. I just don't look for anything. I have a really strong family. I really hang out with my kids and my grandkids and my own little self. And
you're doing a pretty good job of faking it for yeah. a person who's not a people person.
Well, I can go out and love to see you and meet you, but then I go home and do my little thing. And it has nothing to do with what anybody's saying about me or, you know.
Thinking.
We talked about not wanting to, you know, you're on radio now and you don't have to put on makeup. And I say, oh, boy, a day without mascara, you know, it's like just heaven. And, yeah, I just live my life. So I think you have to learn how to handle that and how to walk away from it. And I think because I started so young, there's a part of me that just learned to survive it and not let it slam me because – I think early on, it was confusing. Is how do I step away? And I found it, you know, at 17, 18, 19, depressing because it was 17, 18, 19, you're so busy trying to figure out who you are anyway. And then when I had other people's opinions of who I was placed on me, I thought that was hard. And I think it's a lot of trial and error. You know, that really was lousy. That didn't feel good. And so I won't do that. And then you go a different way. And oh, that felt better. Just trial and error. That's not life.
What's next for you? You've done already so many things. We're having trouble figuring out what to talk to you about because there are too
dear.
Many things.
Oh, no.
There are too
this
many
is terrible.
Things. So.
What's next for me? I'm doing Brothers and Sisters for, you know, we start again a fourth season, which is hard to believe, in July. And I don't know. It's so much about my family. Little things. I mean, things I haven't told anyone. You're it's an exclusive here. This whole time I've been off since we've had 2 months off. We'll have another month, so we get all of 3 months off. I've been studying French like mad. People say, why are you doing that? I have no idea. I want to speak French. I've always wanted to speak French. I've always wanted to play the piano. So by gum, I'm going to learn to speak French. If you asked me to say anything right now, I couldn't say a single thing.
I couldn't help you. I interviewed the Governor General of Canada, and she completely embarrassed me by addressing me in French.
Very long time it's going to take. I mean, it's just my 60-year-old brain trying to learn a language. I mean, I have brain cells dying off faster than I can be, like, learning this stuff.
It's great.
But my whole – I have been possessed with my homework and with listening to all this stuff and taking my – I have a tutor, and twice a week for 3 hours I take – so –
That's fantastic.
So not about anything you would think it was about.
What about the piano?
And then next is going to come
the piano.
It's coming next. I figure I couldn't like slam it all on myself at the same time. I think I would discourage myself. So I thought I'd get a little basis of French, and then I'm going to add the piano. I don't know what I'm going to do with this except speak French and play the piano.
That is awesome. And finally, we ask all of our Wisdom Watch guests this. Do you have any wisdom to share? You've been sharing wisdom all along. So
Do I have any wisdom to share?
Cherry on that Sunday for us.
Well, let's see. I believe a few things to be absolutely true, and I found it to be true. When you hit a wall and you feel that depression of something goes terribly wrong in your career, in your life, that, like Joseph Campbell said, who I think was so incredibly brilliant, that right there, as you stumbled on that rock, there's something gold planted right at your feet, and that it is your task to find out what that is. There's something blessed there for you to find, another path, another road that you would never have taken had you not stubbed your toe badly right there.
Sally Field, an award-winning actor and activist. She was kind enough to spend some time with us in Washington, D.C., where she came to receive an award for her advocacy work around osteoporosis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
If you're in doubt about angels being real.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.
Gonna say she's all that you adore, but stay away. Gidget has spoken for you're gonna find that gidget.